Hello, my name is Brian Nowoszelski, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we are joined by Diana Isaacs, Director of Education and Training in Diabetes Technology at the Cleveland Clinic. She is also a certified pharmacist in diabetes management with over 15 years of experience. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So today, we're going to be discussing insulin management, the pharmacist's role in diabetes care, and how technology is impacting insulin recommendations around the world. So to start, what is the importance of insulin management for patients with diabetes, and how is it currently being administered in the U.S.?
Yeah, insulin is very important. So every person with type 1 diabetes needs insulin to live. And then many people with type 2 diabetes need insulin as well. We are seeing that people are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes much earlier in their life, like many kids, teenagers, young adults. And even though we have a lot of other great medications to treat type 2 diabetes, through the natural progression of the condition, a person loses their ability over time to make insulin, or there's so much resistance that even with other medications, it may not be enough to counteract that. And so then a person needs insulin to be able to maintain their glucose levels. And ultimately, that's very important to prevent any potential types of diabetes complications, including the microvascular and macrovascular complications that could occur.
Awesome, cool. So getting into kind of the management of insulin use. So for pharmacists and the patients that they counsel, what are the biggest challenges regarding insulin management today?
Insulin is a very narrow therapeutic window. So it's not an easy drug to give and to take. So for starters, almost all insulin is injectable. And we thought people hated injectables, but turns out with GLP-1s, they're more willing to do it. With insulin, people aren't always so excited to inject. There is one form that is inhaled. So I think that's important to know. But the inhaled form is only for mealtime insulin. So long-acting insulin, it's all injected. Insulin also can be administered through an insulin pump, and that would be fast-acting insulin. So in terms of challenges, what we're trying to do with insulin is to mimic the body's physiologic response, but it turns out it's very challenging to do that. Even with all of the different types of insulins that we have, it's still very challenging to do that. And so what can end up happening is if you don't get the right dose or you don't have the right timing with the insulin, a person's going to experience hyperglycemia or hypoglycemia.
So kind of moving on to what you've seen throughout your experience and delving a little deeper into that insulin delivery. So throughout your time in diabetes care, how has insulin delivery improved and what are some of the common outcomes that these improvements have led to?
Yeah, there's been a lot of exciting innovations in this space. So for starters, when you think about like where we originally came from and we had animal-derived insulins and we had NPH, intermediate insulin, which has a peak and needs to definitely be given twice a day. But if it peaks at the wrong time, someone experiences hypoglycemia. We had regular insulin, which it just doesn't quite work fast enough. So people have to take it at least 30 minutes before they eat for it to work at the right time. So we've had many innovations when it comes to long-acting insulins. Now we have several long-actings that can be taken just once a day. We have insulin glargine and degludec, and we also have the glargine U300, which is a more concentrated form of that insulin, which allows it to last longer in the body. I'm very excited about the prospect of weekly insulin. So there's insulin icodec and efsitora alfa. So both are being studied, and they look really promising for at least for type 2 diabetes, especially, where someone would only need to take it once a week and it would have a really steady state. So it wouldn't be peaking at the wrong times. And so I think that's a really exciting prospect. When it comes to mealtime insulin, we definitely have faster acting insulins now. So we have, for example, with Aspart and Lispro, they both have a faster acting formulation. We also have the inhaled insulin, which is actually the fastest acting insulin of all of them. And also a nice option for someone that doesn't want to inject at meal times. So we have certainly made a lot of advances. what I would ultimately love to see is like a truly glucose targeted insulin that just works when the glucose is high, and it is like truly physiologic so that someone doesn't have hypoglycemia or is not at risk of hypoglycemia. So unfortunately, even with all of our amazing innovations, there still is that risk of hypoglycemia that we have to watch out for and make sure we educate our patients about.
Awesome. Cool. I think that's kind of a good segue to the next question around kind of how other advancements and innovations have impacted insulin management. So how has the administration of insulin management been impacted by medical advancements and other things like continuous glucose monitoring and glucagon like peptide 1 medication? So you kind of touched on it there, but with the rise in GLP-1s and shifts in diabetes management, kind of how has insulin management been impacted by all of that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So GLP-1 medications have taken the world by storm. There are so many people using them, and they have tremendous benefits in terms of glucose lowering and decreasing weight. And many people have been able to come off of insulin through adding these medications. So I think they've definitely made a big, big impact in this space, and they will continue to do that. Even with the GLP-1s, there are still many, many people that still need insulin to be able to reach their glucose levels. Now, this is something we'll see what happens over time, because recently, like at the ADA Sci sessions, there are other agents in development that have even more glucose lowering and weight loss. And so potentially more and more people will be able to come off of insulin. But I think that there are still so many that developed type 2 diabetes at a young age that just are going to really need insulin. And then, of course, all the people with type 1 diabetes, which type 1 is actually on the rise. So all the people with type 1 have to have insulin. Continuous glucose monitoring has for sure been a game changer. And we have seen that explode, really kind of side by side with the GLP-1 medications, to the point where now anyone on insulin, any type of insulin, even just like a once a day long acting insulin, typically now has access to CGM. They will have insurance coverage. And that has helped tremendously to be able to adjust insulin doses. But one of the fascinating things is that when you look at the guidelines for time and range with CGM, the guidelines recommend 70% or more in the target range of 70 to 180, with less than 4% of the time below 70. And when I hear that, we are okay with up to 4% of the time below 70, which, to put that in perspective, 1% of time is about 15 minutes. So that is like up to almost an hour a day that we're like, hey, it's okay, you're below 70. So why are we okay with that? Well, it turns out it's really challenging to manage glucose levels with insulin and not have any hypoglycemia and still overall achieve your goals. And so I think this puts into perspective the challenges with insulin and how there's still kind of more to be done. As much as CGM has been incredible and it has reduced hypoglycemia and made people aware, where they can look at their CGM or they can get an alert and know, hey, I need to take some fast acting carbohydrates, but it has not eliminated hypoglycemia.
Awesome. Well, I think this has been a good conversation. Kind of looking to the future, I feel like you mentioned, that there's a lot of good things going on right now, but definitely so more to be done in this space. So what are the trends that you're seeing now and are expecting to see within the pharmaceutical industry that could significantly impact pharmacists' ability to manage patients' insulin in the future?
I think the biggest thing is going to be more insulin pump use, especially in primary care settings. I think more pharmacists are going to start getting involved with insulin pump management. And in the last year, there were 2 insulin pumps that were specifically FDA approved for type 2 diabetes. That includes the Omnipod 5 and then the Control IQ Plus algorithm that works with the t:slim X2 and with the Tandem Mobi. And this now is bringing this technology, which historically we thought of pumps are for people with type 1 diabetes, and it brings it to people with type 2. And why is this so important? Well, so I mentioned so much about this narrow therapeutic window with insulin and how hard it is to adjust and to manage it. Well, pumps specifically automated insulin delivery where the pump is communicating with the CGM, this does like all of this for us. So it is in the background, it is always increasing or decreasing the insulin to reach that glucose target. And it is using that rapid acting insulin and every 5 minutes giving more or less or even pausing it to make sure it reaches that goal. And I think that we are going to be seeing more and more of these systems and making sure that our patients know that this is a good option. If they need insulin, especially if they need mealtime insulin, this is a great, great option to use. In addition to that, I think GLP-1 medications and other incretin hormones like GIP and glucagon, and we also have amylin, those are going to be on the rise too. And one of the good bits of news is that when these automated insulin delivery systems have been studied with people using these medications, they found they're still very effective, right? We want to use these medications in people with type 2, and we're even starting to increase their use in people type 1 off-label. And we know that the technology actually works very well with those medications. So I think we're going to see that area just explode. And it's really exciting. And pharmacists are like perfectly poised to be the ones to help manage these insulin pumps.
Awesome. That's all I have for you today. It seems like a lot of excitement kind of in this space, especially in pharmacy. So I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you.